the North Peace MB Church Roundtable Podcast. For more information, visit npmbchurch.com.
All right, well, welcome to episode 9. We are going to be talking about family, and specifically today we want to speak to the men, but if you are not a man and you still listen, don't turn it off. This will still be interesting for you. But specifically, we want to talk to men on what is a man's role in their family. Specifically, if you remember, we're trying to unpack a biblical worldview of life. We talked about work, and we want to talk about all areas of life. And so this week to talk about, so men, what does the Bible call you to as husbands, as fathers? How do you lead and serve? The reason that we want to speak to the men is we're both men, so we can speak to our own kind, and either next week or in the weeks to come, we actually want to talk about, okay, well, what is a woman's responsibility to her family, and how does she serve and help raise her kids? And so we actually want to bring some women onto the podcast to help us, because then we can't get in trouble.
You men. Know when to say when.
Yeah, you men don't know what you're talking about. So specifically, we want to talk to the men today. But women, if you are listening, you are welcome to eavesdrop and hear what the biblical call for men is. We want to start with a quote. And as you listen, I guess you can just play a little game in your own head. When do you think this quote was written? So I'll read the entire quote, and then we'll go from there. So here's the quote. "Now observe that when that clever harlot, our natural reason, takes a look at married life, she turns up her nose and says, 'Alas, must I rock the baby, wash its diapers, make its bed, smell its stench, stay up nights with it, take care of it when it cries, heal its rashes and sores, and on top of that, take care for my wife, provide for her, labor at my trade, take care of this and take care of that, do this and do that, endure this and endure that, and whatever else of bitterness and drudgery married life involves. What, should I make such a prisoner of myself? Oh, you poor wretched fellow, have you taken a wife? Fie, fie upon such wretchedness and bitterness. It is better to remain free and lead a peaceful, carefree life. I will become a priest or a nun and compel my children to do likewise. What then does Christian faith say to this? It opens its eyes, looks upon all these insignificant, distasteful, and despised duties in the spirit, and is aware that they are all adorned with divine approval as with the costliest gold and jewels. It says, O God, because I am certain that thou hast created me as a man and hast from my body begotten this child, I also know for a certainty that it meets with thy perfect pleasure. I confess to thee that I am not worthy to rock the little babe or wash its diapers or to be entrusted with the care of the child and its mother. How is it that I, without any merit, have come to this distinction of being certain that I am serving thy creature and thy most precious will? Oh, how gladly will I do so, though the duties should be even more insignificant and despised. Neither frost nor heat, neither drudgery nor labor will distress or dissuade me, for I am certain that it is thus pleasing in thy sight." Now, it kind of gave it away a little bit with the these and thous, but that quote is very relevant today when you think about manhood and serving and family. But it was actually given in a sermon by Martin Luther almost 500 years ago. So as we're talking about the state of manhood and men stepping up and leading and serving, this is not really a new topic. If you think about Martin Luther giving this sermon 500 years ago, like this topic has been around for a long time. And so we're just kind of adding our voices to that. I just love, so, and we'll get into this, that it's like Martin Luther's comparing, you know, the natural reason who goes, what in the world? I have to do this and take care of this and I have to work hard and then come home and change diapers and take care of my kids and my wife. And he says like, oh, wretched man, like it would just be better to be single, essentially. And you would be surprised how often I hear that from guys who maybe are single and they go, "Blah, man, I don't want all that responsibility." Or sadly, from some guys who are already married and they just go, "Blah, it's so much responsibility." And I just love how Luther kind of goes into the Christian perspective, which we'll get to. But I don't know. For a couple minutes, we want to talk about what I would call the crisis of manhood in our culture, and specifically North American culture. I don't know, Don, why don't you speak for a couple minutes just from your perspective and your life experience? Is there a crisis of manhood, and what does that mean in our culture?
Yeah, definitely a crisis. I'm just thinking of an example just a few years ago when our youngest two daughters were very little. And I was invited to go to a hockey tournament, but it was basically all hands on deck at home, changing diapers, doing family. And I know this friend said, "Well, it sounds like a great time to go for a hockey weekend." I said, "And leave my wife alone for the weekend?" And he basically said, "Yeah, I mean, why would you sacrifice to do that? I mean, that's, you know, or you could come play hockey and enjoy a weekend with the guys." And that was kind of the focus of the guys, just to get away for the weekend, away from their responsibility.
Huh.
And I just said, "No." And under his breath, you could, you know, like he said, "Well, it sounded like a good time to get out of there for me." And so there is this general feeling that raising kids and doing all that work at the home is beneath us, maybe, or it's just out of our comfort zone. So, and young guys, I know I've had a number of young men say, like, "I have no clue how to be a man or how to get in the game." So I think a crisis would be the right word, because that is, and a lot of guys want to know how to do it right, but just have no idea, because the TV shows, the guy's a doofus. And if the woman doesn't hold it together, well, the guy certainly doesn't have a clue. So that's the picture we get on the TV shows, movies, and, you know, you think of Tim the Toolman Taylor. Yep. He wouldn't have a clue how to run a household. So, and us young guys that are following this, we're kind of, so you got a couple options. You either try to get in the game and flounder away, or you just go to work, go to play hockey, and avoid.
Yeah.
And there's so many bad consequences to those decisions. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think our culture has set men up to fail. Like you said, every sitcom, I'd say every sitcom, the dad is an idiot. And because that's, you know, that's funny. We laugh at that. But you think of, Tim the Toolman Taylor, The Simpsons, like all these very popular shows, the husband and the father just has no clue what he's doing. And so I think a lot of young guys look at that and go, "Really? That's what being a father and a husband is, just being just an idiot at home and not knowing what to do? Like, I don't want that." Then I think we have, we've actually in North America created a new stage of life called prolonged adolescence. And another name that people use is the Peter Pan syndrome. And it's, you know, we've created young adults in our culture. No other culture in the world has a stage of life called young adulthood. Yeah. It's you're a teen and bam, then you're an adult. And actually even some don't even have teens. You're 13, bam, you're an adult now.
Yeah.
But we've created actually this stage of life that now lasts even to 30s. Where our culture actually doesn't even expect anything from men. They're allowed to act like boys. A lot of them have disposable income. A lot of them live in their parents' basements and play video games, and that's just kind of their life. Very little responsibility. And the sad thing is that our culture encourages that and just kind of lets them get away with that, I guess, and doesn't really ask them for anything. So I think there is a crisis where, and I often call them boys who can shave, but there's a crisis where men aren't being called to step up and to lead and to serve, or they're kind of seen as doofuses, Or I know a lot of guys who are doing this well. Other guys look, oh, man, you're just whipped, yeah. and you do whatever your wife yeah. tells you to do, and you have no freedom. So there's just this negative stereotype about men, I think.
Yeah, I know for me, like when we're raising six kids, and when our last two were young, it was, you know, diapers and sleepless nights, and at the same time, teenagers and all that. And I even know I play a lot of hockey, or used to, and I took a couple years off. And I even, sadly, the Christian guys around me really couldn't figure that out, really kind of gave me a hard time for dropping that instead of encouraging that season of life to get involved. So I know even from my Christian friends, there wasn't a whole lot of support. It was kind of like, wow, that's pretty radical. And I thought, well, this is
pretty normal.
Pretty normal, you know, and it's a season. There's seasons of life where a lot of other things have to go to build into your family, to be the leader.
Yeah.
And it's got to be done, and you reap the rewards if you do it, and you will also reap if you don't. So,
yeah.
So, yeah.
And then lastly, too, a lot of guys that I've had discussions with, you know, being a man is just bringing a paycheck home. And I think you kind of touched on that, that it's like, well, I do my part. I work whatever it is, 40, 50, 60 hours a week. And that's my contribution. And I put money in the bank. And then my wife kind of runs the house and the kids. And my job is just to bring money home. And I think, again, that's, oh, man, that's just such a... Yeah, and I'd often tell guys, like, your kids don't want a paycheck. They want a dad.
Yeah.
But a lot of guys, that's what they view. Like, I work hard, and I have to come home and work hard again. Yeah. So I think there is a crisis, and I think there's confusion over what it means to be a man, what it means to serve and lead a family, I guess. Why don't we get into what the Bible says, what is biblical manhood, and then just talk about the importance of that sociologically, and even when it comes to your kids' faith. So, I don't know, Don, what I think we're going to go to Ephesians 6, but why don't you talk us through a little bit? I guess we're talking both about leading as far as being husbands and then also leading our children, kind of both. But from your experience and looking at Ephesians 6, what are some ways that you've done this, or what do you think God is calling men to?
Yeah, well, I mean, for me personally, starting off with looking at Jesus, our example, you know, fully man, and yet his statement was he came to serve, not to be served. And so he led in a very powerful way, very manly way. There was times where he was very vulnerable, and there were times when he made a whip, and he was righteously angry, and he took action. So we sometimes forget there was a balance, but he came to serve. So that was my model as a man, whether I'm married or in my family. I want to follow Jesus. So serving rather than being served is the, like Martin Luther, what's the Christian response? Well, that's the Christian response as a man. So I look at Ephesians 6, chapter 4 there, and it says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." And it's interesting that Paul points right to the fathers.
Yeah.
And often, especially when the kids are young, we tend to often want to leave that responsibility to our wives. They can take the kids to Sunday school and all those things. But here, Paul, and even in Colossians as well, Colossians 3:21 kind of says the same thing. So we can kind of make two errors. We can either be so overbearing that we exasperate our kids, or we can just disappear, which is also exasperating. Because like Andrew said, they want relationship. They don't care about the paycheck.
Yeah.
They want to see you too. So as a Christian man, and then you talk about Ephesians 5, where it calls us to love our wives as Christ loved the church. That's not giving up our manhood. It's actually becoming a real man.
Wow.
To be able to lay down your life for your wife and then lay down your life for your kids. Like Jesus, the disciples would never say, well, Jesus, you don't know what it's like. You've never done this. Everything he told them to do, he did it.
Yeah.
And in the end, he died on the cross for them. So they could never say, well, you don't know what it's like. Fully man and the creator of all things, and he gave himself up to serve and love the disciples, love us. So as a Christian man, that was what I was aiming for. Sometimes you're bumbling and fumbling along and yeah. Got to ask for a lot of help. But those are some thoughts I had on just some of the verses that clearly call us as men to serve. And that's part of being a real man, is to serve your wife, serve your family, and do whatever you can. So that could mean you come home from your 10-hour day of framing houses, and then there's a diaper to change, there's some dishes to wash, to get involved, and it's hard. And you got to make a decision. No, I'm going to. My wife has worked all day with the kids.
Yeah.
Most husbands, you hang out with your kids for 3 hours and it's, I'm done.
Yeah.
And your wife's done for 8 hours. And you go, how do you do it?
Yeah. My wife tutors. And the most she tutors in the row is 2 hours. And by the end of 2 hours, I'm just at my wit's end. How do you do this all day? And I really do think being a mom is one of the hardest jobs in the world. But I agree with you. I think God calls men to sacrifice and to serve their wives and their families and their kids. And it is hard. But I think God knows that men want a challenge. God knows that men, really, they thrive under that kind of thing. I know for me, when I'm serving and sacrificing for it, that is where true fulfillment and joy comes in. I remember there's a pastor named Matt Chandler, and he really challenged men. He said, there's too many men going to bed not tired at night. He's like, the best nights are when I fall into bed and I'm just exhausted. And I go, man, I worked, and then I came home and I got on the ground and I played with my kids and I helped clean up supper and I gave them baths. And he's like, and then you go to bed and you're just like, that sense of, man, I borrowed this phrase from him, but he says, I wrung out my life for my family today. And you go, man, that sounds so hard and draining. And it is, but that's what God actually designed men to do.
That's the Christian response. And I just wanted to say something, like I know Andrew's saying it's fulfilling to do that, but I think our younger men growing up, the hard work part is not taught, and it's more repulsive to do. So that's where we got to think, if I want to be a Christian man, that means serving, that means changing the diaper, whatever, but it goes against what we're being told.
Yeah.
That hard work, leave it to somebody else or avoid it or do something fun instead.
Yep.
So,
And I think a lot of guys, they go into marriage with that idea of, how can I get served? And very selfish. And really, it's the, like you said, it's the opposite of that. It's how can I serve my wife? How can I honor her? How can I help her flourish? How can I help with the kids? And you're right, that is the call. Because you read that, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And then he goes into, how Jesus sanctifies her. And so we obviously don't sanctify our wives. The Holy Spirit does. But that way of that we, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle, that she might be holy, without that type of love that Jesus has for the church, putting her first, and in the same ways husbands should love their wives. It's just this incredible call, and Jesus really gives us a very high bar. He set a very high bar for men. And just so practically, we've been married for almost 5 years and we have 2 girls, a 2.5-year-old and a 6-month-old. Man, it's tiring. And I've often shared, there are times when, and a pastoral job is kind of a weird thing. It's not like my body is physically tired. But I mean, when you're preparing sermons and you're meeting with people and counseling, da, 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 like I'm drained at the end of the day. And there's been many days when I sit in the driveway and I'm just like, everything of inside of my flesh wants to just go inside and turn on something on the TV or just go up to the room and just be like, I need some time alone or whatever. Because I'm like, I worked hard today, blah, blah, blah. And I have to sit there and honestly, it's a battle. And I have to pray and just go, nope, God, I pray that like as soon as I enter the door that I'd be engaged, that I would be serving and sacrificing for them. And you get in there and like there's been many days when I get home and one of our kids has peed all over the floor and I'm just like, okay, time to serve. And you know, you get down and I'm exhausted and yet you play with your kids and you help with dinner and you help with bath time and like, but you need to hear, it's not like, I do this amazingly every day and, oh, it's such a joy to serve. Like a lot of times it's a battle to do it. But when you engage in that battle and you get down onto the front lines for your family, like I said, that's so fulfilling. And that is like, that is because you're living how God designed men to live.
Yeah.
God didn't design men to be lazy. Like he designed them to give their lives for something, something worthwhile, to sacrifice. And I think too, you look at, not just in family, men are hardwired that way. You look at like, why would men volunteer to go to the front lines on D-Day and just be blown down by machine? Cause they want to give their lives for something worthwhile. Men are hardwired like that. And so I think that's why there's fulfillment when you go, that sounds so hard. I'm supposed to sacrifice my life, work 50 hours a week, and then come home and work at home. Yep. Because that's how God designed you to give your life for something.
Yeah. I just had a thought there too. And sometimes, you know, guys want to give their lives for something. What's the Christian response? I know sometimes it'd be tempting to go for a sports trophy or a promotion, but as a Christian, God would look at that and say, well, that's way down there. His trophy would be to go after your wife and family with the Christian love. And that's when God gets excited, when you get engaged in that. So we have to remember, in the world's eyes, your trophies might come from different places and it might feel good, but in God's eyes, he's going, now you're talking my language when you're giving your, you know, love to your wife and your kids and we're bringing glory to God. So it's kind of who we want to gain that recognition from.
And your only trophy might be a homemade card with macaroni on it, but that's the best trophy in the world rather than promotions and blah, all these things. It's so true. That might be your only recognition, but it's worth it. And it's amazing when you look at when men are engaged, when men are doing this, when Christian men are engaged in their families and they're leading and they're serving, the effect that it has on society, first of all. There's actually sociologically studies that have shown that when men actually disengage and they aren't good husbands and good fathers and they're not serving their families, actually they've done studies where cities with the highest crime rates and the highest drug use rates and highest prostitution and all these things, they looked at families and the common denominator in those cities is, where are the fathers? And when it seems to be, and this is from non-Christian perspectives, they say, okay, when men aren't engaged in their families, crime goes up, prostitution goes up, drug use goes up. It's fascinating that you go, man, men play a massive role in their kids' lives. It's even interesting to think about, so Christian men and Christian families, the influence that you have on your kids' spiritual lives is massive. And I think too, like in Ephesians, I think it is, you know, calling men to kind of set the spiritual climate in their homes, to lead spiritually. And here's why. There's a book called Why Men Hate Going to Church. Fascinating book, but they talk about what happens with young kids, young men, when dad's not engaged in the church or when he is. So these are the stats that they've come up with. When mom is a regular church goer, but dad attends infrequently or never. Just 2-3% of kids go on to become regular churchgoers. So when mom is engaged in the church but dad isn't, actually 2-3% of kids will actually continue on in church engagement, I guess. Here's the thing. When both mom and dad attend church regularly, 33% of kids grow up as regular attenders. So when dad's in the picture with mom, 33%, 1 out of 3 kids actually continues on as a church attender. And then he says this, here's the shocker. When dad is faithful, but mom never attends, 44% of kids end up as regular churchgoers. And then he says this, this study seems to indicate that in spiritual matters, kids take their cues from their dads.
Whew.
You go, wow. And actually, I can confirm these stats, being engaged in youth ministry for 8 years, mm-hmm. so true. The kids that we had whose dads weren't involved, by and large, did not continue on, and they were the ones that really wrestled with, why should I do this? They had no male influence spiritually, and when you would see dads engaged, it made a massive difference. Have you seen that as well?
Yeah, no, that's true in our youth work here at the church too, and where there's not a dad involved, there's often a lot of other problems that come up, more sin problems to deal with. So yeah, that's evident here too. Yeah.
Now, we want to spend a couple minutes because I know if you are listening, maybe you didn't have a dad that was awesome at this. Or maybe you grew up even without a dad, single mom situation, or maybe, maybe you are a single mom and you're listening, you're going, oh man, so my kids have no chance. We want to just spend a few minutes talking about situations like that. And actually a question came up on Sunday, even talking about honoring your mother and father. And someone asked, well, how do you honor, and we'll just, for this conversation, how do you honor a dad who was just a lousy dad? How do you, is there hope for kids who don't have father figures, Christian fathers? I don't know, Don, you're the test case for this. I don't know. Why don't you share some of your story and just maybe speak to that? What can happen when a dad isn't present or...
Yeah, I mean, that's very relevant to me because I'm one of those guys who didn't have a dad. And I say these things with all respect to my dad. He was my hero. But growing up, often he was out of town for work and there was quite a bit of alcohol used. And so there was no relationship there. I remember even talking to my sister not long ago, what was it like growing up in our home and with dad? And she said, well, I was like a stranger. This guy, kind of kept coming to our place and it was her dad. And so just her, trying to stay on the outside edges of the house trailer so she didn't have to get in his way. And I'm just going, wow. And so, never no words of encouragement. And yeah, when there was times with the alcohol, you just never knew what was going to happen. So, I became a Christian when I was 10 at a Bible camp. And I remember when I was 16, had a defining moment with dad. And again, I say this with all respect. I was working with him in Winnipeg, a big construction crew, and they were all going out for lunch. And so it turned out they were going to a strip club for lunch. And I was 16 and I'm going, I don't want to go in there. And the guys all said, don't worry about it. The ID guy isn't going to check us. So they were basically taking me by the arm and heading through the door. And I actually had to turn away. I said, I don't want to go in there. Wow. And so I looked at my dad and I'm going like, help me out here. And he gave me $5 to go get a lunch somewhere else. And he walked in with the guys and I'm just standing on the sidewalk there. Wow. So it was right around that time that, I was really praying about what do I do here? And God began stirring my heart and said, I want you to tell your dad that you love him. And I went, what? I didn't get that. What did you say? And it was such a heavy impression. I said, well, he's never told me nothing, like not even good job or anything. And you want me to tell my dad I love him? So I had a huge wrestling match there. So finally, one evening, I made a deal with God. We lived in a house trailer. My dad was watching TV usually at 10 o'clock. He goes to bed. So when he walks down the hallway, I'll just call out in the dark, hey, Dad, I love you. But he didn't come to bed that night. And God basically said, no, you need to go tell him face to face. I'm going, man, you're killing me. So I said, well, and I didn't even know how he would react. I was actually afraid. So I got up, said, God, be with me. Here I go. So I walked into the living room. My mom was washing dishes. Dad was watching TV. Walked up to him and said, Dad, I just want you to know that I love you. And I turned around and went back to bed. I'm alive. I'm alive. And I was so pumped that I had obeyed God and did that. Wow. But mom almost dropped her dishes. And she said, Dad just sat there and stared at the floor for probably about half an hour. And then he walked to bed. Wow. Never heard a word about that later. Never, you know, nothing came of that. And I told my dad since a few more times, but never a response or anything. So as I grew into a young adult, even 17, 18, I started complaining, like, why did it have to be this way? Like, you know, watching other kids have a great relationship with their dad. I started complaining, and God said, well, here's the deal. Stuff happens, like, because of the fall, people can make decisions and other people will suffer for it. And you're one of those guys, but now you have, the choice. You can either play the victim game and carry this legacy on, or you can choose to do something different. And I just remember, wow, I can choose to do something different. And so I just made a decision. Well, I'm choosing to do something different because I am not raising a family like this. And so funny, I just celebrated my 50th birthday and we just sat around the table, and I have five of my kids home joining the celebration. So we reminisced about good times with Dad in the past. And, you know, I heard laughter. I heard good times, good relationship. And my dream came true. Hmm. You know, here I was enjoying all the things that my dad missed out on. And I got a chance to do it differently. And I'm hoping and praying that my kids will carry it on. But
wow.
So I honored my father in that way, knowing that he made mistakes. He didn't do it the right way. And my, you know, his kids were cheated out maybe of a good relationship. But I chose, and for you guys too that have that situation, you'll have to choose if you're going to just walk that same path or if you're going to do something different. You have that choice. So honor your parents that way. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
But,
wow.
So yeah, leading into parenting and fatherhood, I went into it with high hopes and dreams of doing it right. But because of my example, I had no idea. Hmm. So I really want to speak on a practical level. For me, I decided to be vulnerable, and I noticed some guys that were doing their families well. And so I asked questions. I asked, hey, I notice your family's coming along good. Like, I asked him two questions. What would you do again? And what would you never do again? And it was always really neat. And so I learned, you know, how to be a good dad, because I just said, I don't really have a clue.
Wow.
And another thing, very vulnerable, guys, is to ask your wife. You know, I wanted to change diapers. I wanted to burp my kid. I wanted to get on the floor and be in tune. But as a guy with, you know, no tools, I really floundered. But my wife graciously talked to me, trained me. And yep. I tell you, it was just awesome just learning how to do that and get engaged and, you know, be the dad that I dreamt of being. It was, you know, hard work, but yeah. It was worth it.
Hey, I have put on many diapers backwards. Is this the right way? No, I think that's so good, Don. And we were even saying, you know, it's funny that many people who know Don just assume, well, of course you came from a Christian family, and you hear a story and it's just not that, and you go, man, the grace of God for a story like that. And so I think if you're living that story, I even think of single moms who might be going, oh man, there's no hope for my kids. I think there is. I think God's grace is bigger than any mess up that a man has done. And I think to have men in your kids' lives, like I can think of, yes, I had a great dad. I mean, I have a great dad. He's still alive. But he just so invested in us. But even for me too, I had other men in my life that spoke into my life. And to think of those who maybe don't have that father figure, to find Christian mentors who can speak into your life. I know Don shared with me, you know, he had an uncle and a second cousin that were kind of Christian fathers, so to speak, Christian men that just kind of poured into his life. So I think the grace of God covers men's slip-ups and when they mess up. And so I know a lot of single moms who are doing an awesome job with their kids. And by the grace of God, though their kid, you know, her kids are loving Jesus and following Jesus. And so it's not like they're, well, there's no hope for you.
Yeah.
There's always hope.
Yeah.
Because the gospel can heal and redeem those things. Like I remember even a young adult guy or a teen guy that same kind of scenario, his dad was not present. His dad was actually a drug addict and divorced his mom, was in and out of the house. Had a ton of anger issues. And I remember when this guy was a teen, he was, you know, he met with me. I'm so determined. I hate my dad. I'm so determined not to become like him. And then it was fascinating that 3 or 4 years later, man, I could see anger issues welling up in this kid. And he started acting out and just being just angry, just an angry kid, mean to his mom, mean to his sister. And I sat him down one day and it might have just been the Holy Spirit boldness, but I just said, hey, like, I won't say his name, but hey, like, you are your dad. And he was like, what? And he just got so mad at me. And I just I shared with him, like, look at how you are acting. You are becoming your dad. And it was just like a bomb dropped. But the same kind of thing, he made a decision. Wow. Okay. I'm falling into that same kind of cycle. And he's like, no, I'm going to break that. And he got accountability and he got mentors and he's actually a pastor today, which is really cool. So there is hope. The gospel speaks to those. I mean, Jesus heals those types of relationships. But we're just hoping to challenge men. Like, you have an incredible responsibility. And I think we don't even realize the impact that you have on your kids, on your families. Like, and same, like, I have three sisters, same. We'll say things to my dad, and he was just doing life, and he was being very intentional, but he has no idea the impact that he had spiritually on all of his kids. And so, men, like, you have a tremendous call, and it's a high responsibility to pour out your life and to serve and sacrifice for your wife and your kids. And like Don said, like, so he sits down and he hears stories, like the fruit and the benefits that you reap from that. I mean, that's greater than any career advancement. That's greater than any hockey team you can be a part of, greater than anything, really. When you sit down and your kids love Jesus and they're telling you how great of a father you are, like, I think that's, you just go, that's the fulfillment and the joy that comes from pouring out your life. But yeah, practically, I mean, because I know usually men are very, okay, yeah, cut to the chase. How do I do this? Because that's how I am. But I think Don nailed it on the head. To ask for help, men hate asking for help. To ask for help and say, okay, I have no idea how to do this. Find men in your life that are doing this well and say, okay, tell me what you're doing. Like, how do I serve my family? Even, you know, very practically, I mean, Don came into my office last week, and I won't get into details of it, but he just kind of said, you know, I see this, you're a young father, here's a challenge for you. This is what I see in your life. And it was just like, oh, wow, that someone who's a little bit older than me, and who's been there would see that and speak into, like, to be open to that kind of thing. And to go and seek help, and just like Don did, like, how do I do this? And especially to ask your wives, how can I serve you? Like, what would be, like, what needs do you need met? Like, how can I be sacrificing for you, asking for help? And I mean, I had to do that with my wife. How do you do this? How do you hold the bottle? Like, how do you do the...
And I would say a quick thing to wives, if you're listening, be gracious to your husband.
If you're driving and listening, do not be elbowing him.
But I mean, it is a crucial thing. If your husband shows any sign of wanting to get involved, be gracious and get him involved. If you tease him or belittle him, he'll shut the door and you won't see it again.
Yep.
So be gracious and run with it.
And do not say, oh, I think you need to listen to this podcast. You are not the Holy Spirit. And that's such a good word. That's wise, Don. Because it's true. You don't want all of a sudden, if your husband is being vulnerable, and then, forget that. I'm not doing that again because I just got made fun of or whatever. Very wise words to the wives. And I think, guys, to just be vulnerable and to, even if you haven't done this, let's say your kids are teenagers and you, it's better to start now than to not bother. And to actually, I think, to sit down with your teen kids and confess.
Yeah.
And just be vulnerable and say, hey, guys, I totally messed up.
Yeah, this is powerful.
This is how we're going to do it now. Yeah. I want to lead you guys spiritually better now than never, I think. So hopefully this has been practical for you men and for women listening too, to just kind of know what God expects from men and what he calls us to. And hopefully in the next week, or maybe depending on when we can record it, we'll get some women in here and we'll kind of talk about a woman's perspective of family and marriage and what God calls women to do. So hope this has been helpful, and we will talk to you again.